Hello, and welcome to Learning for Life at Gustavus, the podcast about people teaching and learning at Gustavus Adolphus College, and the myriad ways that Gustavus liberal arts education provides a lasting foundation for lives of fulfillment and purpose. I'm your host, Greg Castor, faculty member in the Department of History. Imagine you find yourself conversing as a college student with another country's diplomat to the United States in the diplomat's penthouse. Gustavus senior Abby Joy Neptune, class of 24, doesn't have to imagine. On day one of her recent 2023 summer internship with the nonprofit World Chicago program, she found herself at a reception in the Turkish Consul General's Windy City penthouse, speaking for 30 minutes with the Consul General himself. "I felt like a fish out of water," she recalls, "but it was also one of those experiences where I was thinking it was the coolest thing I've ever done." Abby Joy is a communication studies major and political science minor at Gustavus. She also sings with the Gustavus Choir and helps lead student worship groups on campus. In 2021, as a sophomore, she was crowned St. Lucia as part of the annual St. Lucia Festival at Gustavus, an honor recognizing, quote, courageous leadership, service to others, strength of character, and compassion. She isn't short, interesting, accomplished, and fully engaged in her Gustavus experience, both in and out of the classroom, and I'm delighted she could join me for this first episode of the new academic year to talk about her rewarding summer internship and other parts of her life journey thus far. So welcome to the podcast, Abby Jo. It's really great to have you on.
Thank you so much. Yes, I'm happy to be here.
Yeah, I really appreciate it. This is still early in the semester, so we all have some energy. And you're a fellow Chicagoan. I'm so excited. So
yes.
Yeah, I can't. I call myself a Chicagoan. I really can't. Kind of like you, I guess, more burb than city itself. But why don't we start? Yeah, there you go. We're all Chicagoans. Why don't we start there? Tell us a little bit about your background, where you grew up, what your parents did. Start with that.
Yeah, so I originally was born in Lake Villa, Illinois, which is way far north of Chicago,
right.
And grew up there until about the middle of seventh grade. And my dad, he actually had a midlife career change and decided to go back to seminary to become a pastor.
Wow.
Yeah. My mom, she's a teacher at New Trier High School.
She teaches
environmental geoscience. Yes. When my dad finally got a call to be a pastor, we decided to move to Glenview, Illinois to be closer to his call. And so I went to Glenbrook South High School. And then now my dad has accepted another call at the church that he actually interned at, which was amazing. So we're back in Libertyville, Illinois, which is closer to where I grew up.
It's just making me homesick. I still love
yes.
the Chicago. Yeah, as we were telling you before we started recording, I grew up mostly in the South Suburbs, Park Forest primarily, but I find it fascinating these career choices. I really love that. What was your dad doing before he went back to school to be a minister?
Yeah, great question. He was actually an accountant, so it was a very big change, but it's definitely it's what he wants to do, and he's enjoying every minute of it. So
that's amazing. Anyone in the family? I mean, like his parents are in a similar role?
Yeah, not that I can think of. My grandparents, so my dad's parents, they're really involved in the Lutheran church.
Okay.
Grew up going to church every Sunday. My dad grew up that way. Even me and my sister as grandkids, I mean, we would go to their church all the time when we would visit.
Yeah.
So, church has definitely been a big part of my life growing up, and I'm glad to still be a part of it now.
Well, I don't know. Some might say every family should have an accountant and a minister or something, a pastor. So you've got that covered. That's so interesting. I just love that. And you said your mom, you mentioned New Trier. I think I went to Rich East High School in Park Forest,
okay.
which sadly is closed. But I have a memory. I don't think I'm making this up. I think for some reason I was on the football team very briefly. Thank God.
Gotcha. Okay.
Thank God for the team and for me. But I have a memory of us playing New Trier. It wouldn't have been in the conference, I don't think. Anyway,
yep.
Great school. That's so interesting. So you have brothers and sisters, as you said?
Yep, just one sister. Her name is Annika, and she actually is a, she's in her second year of culinary school at Northwestern Michigan College.
Gosh.
So she is very cool. I'm kind of sad because when I was home for the summer, she wouldn't make me any of her dishes that she made at college. But maybe once she's finished with school at the end of the year, she can start making me some of her food.
Wow. Well, as regular listeners of the podcast know, anyone who knows me, I love food, and I'm really interested in chefs and restaurant history. A colleague who's no longer a colleague, former colleague, that was her area of expertise, sort of the history of food and restaurants. So yeah. I want to meet your sister at some point.
Yeah, I mean,
maybe graduation. Yeah.
She wants to. She's going to do amazing things. I know it, but her big dream is to be the head chef of a farm-to-table restaurant where the farm is actually on the grounds. And so they're harvesting all of this food to make seasonal dishes and things like that. So she's pretty cool.
That sounds great. Excellent. Well, you're mostly grown up in the what would we call those, the north suburbs, west suburbs?
Northern suburbs.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, northern suburbs. What sorts of interests did you have as a kid, whether, you know, pre-high school or high school? What got you excited?
Yeah, lots of different things. I was never a kid that was just, you know, focused on one thing. I started out in theater and dance. And I danced for 10, 11 years. I was, my focus was ballet. So I was on point, which was super fun. And then starting out in high school, I really found my love for theater again, which I had done very, very early on as a child. But once I started high school, Glenbrook South just has a wonderful theater program and choir program. And so those were both two things that I really wanted to get involved in. And I just kind of got involved and never looked back. So my first production in high school, I actually ended up being a lead my freshman year, which was crazy. And then that kind of career just took off from there. So, and, you know, involved in the choir in high school, I was in the Chamber Singers a cappella group, which is a Christmas caroling group. So very, very fun to be a part of.
What was that first lead? What play was that?
Yeah. So I'm a short person, so I'm 4'11". And the lead was, I was Susan Walker in Miracle on 34th Street. Oh, so God. I was the child.
Wow, that's amazing. Yes. I love the theater. I love the theater. Absolutely love it. Saw two plays on Broadway with my wife this summer. And
yes.
A good friend from my high school was teaching Glen Ellen. And then was also the theater director there and took some kids to state, you know, the state competition in Illinois.
Yes, yep.
So, good for you. That's really cool. Are you doing theater now at all? Do you have at Gustavus or not?
Yeah, I have not done theater at Gustavus, mostly because I've been just so involved in the Gustavus choir during my time at Gustavus. So I've just really kind of poured into the choir and haven't had much time to get involved in the theater. But I do enjoy supporting my friends who are in the productions, and I know they're all doing amazing things over there. So really proud of them.
Yeah, agree. As long as I've been there and prior, just a great theater program. I still say we should be the Juilliard of the Midwest. We have such great musical groups on campus.
True.
Yeah, it's amazing. So how did you choose Gustavus? What led you to, was it simply, well, dad's now a Lutheran pastor? And what's the path from high school to here?
Yeah, that's part of it. Definitely my dad being a pastor played a role. I mean, when I started the college search my junior year of high school, to start, there was no one that knew of any, Lutheran liberal arts schools around the area. I was pretty much the only one from my high school applying to places like that. But I knew that I could get some scholarship money with my dad's job. And I also just liked the feel of smaller campuses. I loved the idea of a liberal arts perspective, even though I probably did not know what that meant at the time. Yeah, and I think also a big draw was the music and fine arts aspects.
Oh, sure. There
colleges.
We go.
So
yeah.
I looked at Valparaiso in Indiana. I looked at Augustana College, Rock Island. I looked at Wartburg College in Iowa. I looked at St. Olaf. And then I also looked at Gustavus. And it's kind of a funny story because I honestly didn't hear about Gustavus until a great friend of mine. She's been my friend for 11 years now. Her name is Claire Schoenfield, and she runs cross country and track here at Gustavus. But her and I grew up going to summer camp together, and at summer camp, we met the former chaplain, Chaplain Maggie, and she kind of talked about Gustavus and didn't think much of it. We were freshmen in high school, so didn't think about it, but Claire actually came up and visited Gustavus first, called me on the phone and was like, Abby Joy, you have to go visit Gustavus. You're going to love it. Like, it's amazing. Honestly, I did not think I would love it. I didn't really want to come visit.
why not? Then, if you don't mind my asking, why not?
Too far away
too
from
far
home.
Away. Yeah.
I
okay.
was convinced that I could find something similar closer to home.
Okay.
And, I didn't realize until I came and visited Gustavus that there is no other place like this. You will never find nicer people than here at Gustavus. You're allowed to do many multifaceted things. So you can excel in academics. You can do, you know, scientific research. You can do fine arts, athletics, things like that. And you can balance everything really well, which is something that I did not find at other colleges. So just fell in love with Gustavus from the start. So
that's so, and you, we'll get to this later. You work for your pitch for the place. You kind of started there, but you work for admissions now, right? You give tours on campus.
Yes. Yes. Later. I give tours.
I bring that up because this is a theme in the podcast over, at least when I'm talking to students and even alums, that the visit, I kind of joke if we could just get, you know, more high school students to visit, maybe other colleges wouldn't have so many students. I mean, it's just amazing what the, and I had the same feeling when I came for my job interview. I was leased to one other campus, unmentioned here, and not in Minnesota. And I just, there was something about the place. It's really true. I felt it with the students. I felt very comfortable, and liked that a lot. So you came. We're glad. You know, very good. Good for you.
Yes, me too.
And now you're a senior. Your senior year. My goodness, it's hard to believe.
I know.
What? How about the? So, comm studies major. How did you find yourself majoring in that?
Yeah. Honestly, my mom recommended it for me. She just always saw the communicator in me. I'm honestly more of an introvert, but I really. I'm really good at talking to other people. So I think my mom kind of saw that in me and wanted me to pursue something that I would excel at. And she was right. So mom is always right. Yeah.
So did you come kind of knowing that's what you're going to major in or thinking that's what you would major in?
I had that thought initially that I would probably major in communication studies, and then I took some classes and realized, yep, this is what I want to do. But I didn't actually declare until the end of my sophomore year here.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, I mean, a great major, and literally our history department neighbors were on the same floor of Beck Hall, as you well know.
In fact, yes.
I'm not sure we've met in person. I meant to ask. At the start, I don't think so, but I may well have seen you because you look familiar. I may well have seen you walking around up there. My office
yes.
is right next to Professor Phil Voits.
Okay, yes.
So, yeah, Phil is the last at that end of comp studies, and I'm the first at that end of the history department. So,
yes.
Yeah, it's just a great faculty there. Very, very, very interesting. It's funny you mentioned that too about you can find yourself doing a podcast one day. I kind of think that about myself. I like talking to other people about them,
yes.
not me.
That is also my favorite thing. So this yes. is definitely a little out of my comfort zone,
right.
but
well,
it's good.
Thank you for doing it. Yeah, we all have to get out of our comfort zone. Yeah, for the podcast, I can't remember, it may have been the 50th episode, a colleague said she would, and I interviewed her for the podcast, Professor Kathy Lundeen, an econ manager. And then she said, well, I'm going to interview you for the, I thought, oh boy. And yeah, it was out of my comfort zone for sure. So you came. How about the poli sci minor? What led you to that?
Yeah. I really saw some intersections between communications and political science.
Yes.
And not from, like, you know, courses being double dipping into comm and poli sci, but just in my communications classes. I mean, I took political campaign communication with Professor Brina Brockman, and that was amazing. Really found a passion for political campaigns and studying that kind of communication as well. I also took, what was it called? Media and culture or something like that. And with Julian White.
Oh, yeah.
And it was amazing. So I just kind of saw that there was a lot of double dipping in the way that we communicate in the world and the way that that influences politics. And so I just kind of jumped in headfirst to the political realm and fell in love with it automatically. My advisor, Professor Kate Knudsen, is just amazing. I've been in three of her classes for the minor. And I mean, all of the political science professors do a great job of
another strong department. Well, there isn't a weak department on campus. Let's just stipulate that.
That is true.
You will admit we're biased, but it is just a fact. Yes, and I podcasted with Professor Knudsen back when. It was interesting to speak with her about her work. And I mean, I couldn't agree more about the overlap between comm studies and poli sci, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And just thinking about our present day political state in this country and communications and also social media, all of that. So it's all wrapped up together. So you're right to see those intersections. So what about the choir? Is it just you kind of came to sing in that? Is that the idea? Did you have to, you have to try out, or how does it work?
Yeah. We do have to audition every year. Yes, my first year on campus, I was in the Lucia Singers, which was amazing. I loved it, although it was COVID, so it was pretty crazy.
Yeah.
We were singing, you know, almost 10 feet apart at that time, and we were singing in the chapel. So it was a very interesting experience, but I was still really grateful to be able to sing under those conditions.
Sure.
And then my sophomore year, I was auditioned into the Gustavus Choir, which was amazing. So got to sing in that group, and we toured on the West Coast, which was also such a wonderful experience. And then last year was also in the Gustavus Choir, toured to Spain, France, and Italy.
Yes, I'm envious. I'm so envious.
Oh, it was.
I can't
such
sing.
A good trip.
I have a terrible singing voice, I've been told, but I don't. But I love. Yeah, you're lucky. I want to go to all those places. Been to Italy and France, but I really want to go back. I've never been to Spain. Anyway, I mean to interrupt. Sorry. So that sounded like an amazing trip. Were you singing in that most recent trip? Was that in concert halls or churches or how? Where were you singing?
Yeah, it was mostly big basilicas and cathedrals. Mm. So we sang, our most notable performance on that trip was singing in the Milan Duomo.
Wow.
It's just, I mean, a massive place. It just keeps going on and on and on. So that was crazy. There was hundreds of people there, and they were just visiting the Duomo, and we got to sing for them, which was crazy. So we're really grateful for that opportunity. And I think you can actually watch it online still. I think it's recorded.
I saw some of it. I know. I think it's still there. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, which is also a neat feature of our high-tech world now. Yeah, just wonderful. I mean, I can't remember what year it was. Professor Greg Downey was the choir director. They were going somewhere. I think it was around the U.S. And I got to teach. It was in January. I got to teach the first 2 weeks on campus. And then what I had the students do was they had to send me a couple of postcards about a historic site or something, wherever they were. And I got so many cool postcards. It was good. I have them all somewhere. I should put them together. But that's a perk of the choir. Now, do you pay your own way, or is there funding? How does it work if you're traveling with the choir? Yeah, go ahead.
You can get some funding for it as well. The college is really great at working with students to get some scholarship money for them to be able to have these opportunities. I'm really fortunate that my parents were able to kind of gift me this experience as well. So really fortunate with that. But definitely, since I am a Björling music scholarship recipient. That definitely helped my family out as well with being in the choir and just touring in general. So
that's really great. So are you, I assume you're back in it now?
Yes. Yep. In it for a third year.
Yeah. Do you know, are you going to be touring this coming, is it January? When would you do the touring?
Yes, we are touring in January, and we're going to Sweet Home Chicago. So,
oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
It'll be amazing. It's a Midwest tour, so really focusing on our outreach this tour and connecting with prospective students. And I'm really excited because we're performing at my home church. So oh, wow. It'll be a wonderful tour with a wonderful experience.
That's great. Well, that's a nice kind of helps us segue into your incredible internship. I've read about it. There was like a nice blog post about it on the Gustavus website. And I've looked into World Chicago, which I'm embarrassed to say I had not heard of. amazing program. But why don't we start with how you found yourself in that internship? What was the process by which you came to be an intern for them?
Yeah, I honestly was desperately searching last fall because I'm kind of ambitious and I like to have things decided way well in advance.
Oh,
so
we
I know
are very
exactly
similar.
What I'm doing.
Oh my goodness,
yes.
We're similar.
Needless to say, applying for internships for the summer is not ideal in September of the previous year. So it's okay to wait, which I found out. But
all right, good advice.
I was on LinkedIn and I had seen a friend that I had from high school. He now works for Tammy Duckworth, which something I would want to do in the future, to work with a congressional leader like that and to be on their staff. So
Senator from our home state, right?
Illinois. Yes, yeah. Senator Duckworth. Yeah. Yep. So he works for her now. And I saw that on his profile, he had interned with World Chicago while he was in college. And so I thought to myself, well, if that's the direction I want to go, then maybe I should, you know, apply and see if that will help me, you know, get where I need to go in the future. So I applied, interviewed, and they were actually so generous and offered me the internship right away, which was amazing. So
that's incredible.
Yeah, it went from about the end of May to September 1st. So
wow. So the whole summer, really. More than
yes.
The whole summer. Was it a paid internship? So many aren't.
Yeah, it was not a paid internship, but I was able to get money from the Engaged Learning Fund through the Career Center.
Oh, great.
And that really helped me this summer, being able to pay for my train tickets into the city and gas and things like that. And also just to be able to have something saved up by the time I get back to college for my senior year, which is really important when looking to graduation. I want to have some money saved up. So.
Oh yeah, you are a planner. I was gonna ask you about the Career Center if you'd had any connect, because it's awesome. New director, just it's always been great, but I think it's kind of underutilized by some students. So that's really good to know that funding was there to help you. Because there's all this discussion about, you know, internships, are they exploiting young people? But the bottom line is you just have, in your case, but in so many cases, just an incredible experience. So why don't we talk a little bit about that? What, first of all, can you tell us a little bit about what the organization is, what it does?
Yeah. World Chicago is a nonprofit that is kind of a partner with the U.S. Department of State. So the U.S. Department of State has a ton of different professional international exchange programs that bring over people from all over the world to engage in professional development. And so what World Chicago does is they host those programs and put together meetings with local Chicagoans with similar interests and local organizations to facilitate these dialogues so that the delegates that are participating in the programs are able to take some things back to their countries and have some American influence within their field of study or field of work. So I had a very hands-on experience. I got to help facilitate programs from Poland, Brazil, and Nigeria.
Wow.
This summer. And I also got to support some of their youth diplomat programs, which help Chicagoland youth get involved in diplomacy as well. So it was a very, very fun summer.
That's amazing. Did you, so what did that facilitation involve? I mean, you have to do, I don't know, Zoom calls, phone calls, paperwork, all of the above, or how much interaction were you able to have with these visitors?
I got to have a good interaction with a lot of the visitors. It really depended on the program too.
Okay.
So for example, I actually was kind of the like lead point of contact for the delegation from Nigeria. They were here talking about combating drug abuse in their country. And so Chicago has a lot of different nonprofits that help people kind of recover from drug abuse and find ways to get out of those habits. So I facilitated those meetings with the groups. I was the point of contact between local Chicago organizations and the delegates. I got to go with them to all of their meetings. So I learned a lot about the issues that Chicago is facing and Nigeria is facing as well. So yeah, that's what I did for that program. And then for some of the other programs, I really primarily acted as World Chicago's field reporter.
Oh, wow.
So I was pretty much their journalist for the summer and got to write a ton of different press releases based on
great.
These programs. Yeah, it was amazing. I did not think I would love writing as much as I did, but I almost exclusively want to pursue a career doing writing now.
Oh,
so,
gosh. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
That's so cool. Which you maybe, yeah, I mean, you hadn't thought about that probably prior to the internship, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, I love that. That's wonderful. Yeah, it just sounds like a great program. And again, it's making me homesick for that city. And the, you know, what I remember as a kid even, and you know, now too, the number of, certainly true in New York, but it's true in Chicago, the number of people from other countries who visit the place, you know, not in some kind of formal program, but just the tourists. It's pretty amazing. People may not think of that when they think of Chicago, but it's true. It sounds like just a great, great program. I want you to tell us a little bit about that. I mean, that penthouse.
Yes.
How did that come about? I mean, that's your first day, right? Your very first day.
It was my very first day. Full disclosure, it wasn't exactly my very first day of the internship. It was my first day in person with this internship. So my internship was hybrid. So I did a lot of remote work and working from home, which I really enjoyed, at least this summer anyway, because I got to spend a lot of time with my family that I hadn't got to spend in other summers. So, but it was my first day in person. I had taken the train downtown. And they wanted me to help out with a board meeting. And that was just a crazy experience in and of itself, just to walk into this, you know, big elaborate boardroom and meet all of the board members.
This was the board for World Chicago?
Yes, the board for World Chicago.
Okay.
So, and they are all very well established people in Chicago. I met a woman named Dr. Usha Raj, who is the lead pediatric. I think she's a researcher or a doctor, but she's studying pediatric heart diseases and things like that. So she's doing amazing work. And then also there was a woman named Seville who she is from Turkey as well. So she kind of organized the whole Turkish exchange with us. But yeah, amazing people on the board.
I bet.
So I got to meet them, got to sit in on a board meeting, got to learn about Robert's Rule of Order for the board meeting, which was really interesting. And then afterwards, there was this reception. And I was like, they invited me to stay. And I was like, oh, sure. Yeah, I'll stay.
Where was this? What part of downtown? It was downtown, I assume?
Yeah, it was on the north side of the river.
Okay.
So I don't know exactly where it was at, but north of the Loop.
Okay.
They invited me to stay for the reception, and I wanted to meet more staff members at World Chicago, so that was really why I wanted to stay. And also, I mean, free food too. I can't lie.
I'm sure it was good food.
It was. Oh my gosh, it was so good. But yeah, so we had to walk across this courtyard that was, you know, 11 stories up. And we walked across and these big double doors open and it's just this huge elaborate penthouse. And just right there is the Turkish consulate general and the consulate general for Nepal as well.
Oh, wow. Huh.
Yeah. So it was just such a surreal experience to meet so many people from Turkey and to have that exchange and to share a little bit about myself and to learn more about what they do as consulate generals. And then also just to eat food on their balcony that overlooks Lake Michigan and the
oh
rest
my
of
gosh.
The city.
Yeah.
That was crazy. So,
Envious.
Yeah.
What did you talk about with the consul general? What sorts of things? I mean, just general things, but anything stand out in from your conversation?
Yeah. He asked a lot about what I wanted to do in the future. And the way that I saw our interaction was mostly networking. So
yes.
Getting to know a little bit about each other and, leaving the door open for something to a future connection down the line, which is super exciting. So definitely just talking about what his role is like as the consulate general to Turkey in Chicago. So he kind of helps, international folks from Turkey, with getting visas and things like that. So he
right.
plays a very large role. But then he also was really interested in what I was studying, where I'm from, why I chose World Chicago to intern at. So yeah, it was really great to get to know him.
That's cool. Looks like a younger fellow. I can't remember his name. I quickly saw him online yesterday.
Yes.
It's funny you used the word networking, and literally a few minutes ago, as you were speaking, I wrote down in my notes networking.
Yes.
Because that is, it can sometimes have a bad odor about it, I think, among some students, but no, that's what you want to do. You want to network, and what a great opportunity for you with all of these people, including the World Chicago staff. I mean, just fantastic. And my advice to students is you just never know, do it, network. You never know where it might pop up again or what connections that might lead to. So good for you. I think that's just fantastic.
Yeah, absolutely.
Was there a particular part of the internship you especially liked aside from this wonderful moment?
Yeah.
Consul General.
Writing the press releases was definitely high on the list. Anytime that I was in person engaging with people from different countries in these programs, that was phenomenal. I honestly learned that this internship was honestly more of a hospitality internship than it was anything else, especially when you're interacting with those program participants, which I found that I really liked. I think growing up in the church, we're raised to be hospitable human beings, and it's something that I really excel at. So that's something that I could see excelling at in a future career as well. So writing the hospitality aspect, and then just kind of learning and discerning really what I want in the future and what maybe I don't want in the future. So I really loved all of the in-person experiences. I thought that the remote work was challenging at times, but it was a good experience to know that in the future, maybe I'll apply to more remote positions than hybrid positions.
Right. You don't have to rule those out.
Right.
Based on this experience. And another phrase you just used, learning and discerning.
Mm-hmm.
Nice wordsmithing there. I really like that. And
thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. That is, that is so important too. That's such an important part of, going to college in general, kind of trying to learn and discern. I love that phrase. What you enjoy, what you don't enjoy, but internships as well. You've experienced that. Was this your first internship? I meant to ask that earlier. Have you had others?
Yes, this was my first internship.
Yeah. So yeah, it's
not
an opportunity.
Just going to say not my first job, but definitely
right.
my first internship.
First internship. Yeah. The I think that's a hugely important part of the internship is learning and discerning, as you said, what I'm good at, what I like. You've discovered, you like hospitality, you like writing. That's just fantastic. An incredible experience, and lucky you that it was the full summer. And you could live at home too, which helps.
Yeah.
That's handy, obviously.
Definitely helped.
Yeah, no kidding. Have you been to any of these countries, by the way? I meant to ask you that. I don't know how much you're I'd gone to Mexico only as an undergraduate, which I loved. It was an amazing experience, but I hadn't gone anywhere else. Well, Canada, I guess, until I was older. Had you, I mean, prior to the choir experience and this, had you interacted with people from abroad much or been abroad?
Not really. My first kind of interactions with people from other countries were honestly at Gustavus with international students.
Yes.
And my first time out of the country was that choir tour. So, okay. But I'm very excited because next spring I'm going on a trip with my family and our church is going to Croatia, Slovenia, and we're going to Italy as well. So I'll get some more international experience. Is there, and I'm just so excited for that.
And I mean, Italy's beautiful. Croatia is supposed to be beautiful. We can talk about this later, but I want to apply for adoption by your family. travel with you. Wow. And the food, it's just amazing.
Yes.
Good for you. That's exciting. Yeah, it's so incredible. I think Mexico, and then, the first time I went elsewhere was as a Gustavus professor. Early on in my career, it would have been the late 80s, I guess. And Gustavus had a short-lived semester abroad program where students rotated from one site to another. My wife, Kate, was also a prof in the history department. We were in England, and that was the first time I'd been in England. And even though, I thought, I won't experience culture shock. I won't be. I experienced culture shock. I mean, and that was so important. I certainly had experienced it when going to Mexico as an undergraduate. But that is just such an important part of, I think, being fully alive, fully engaged, is that travel, both within the country, even just within Minnesota or just within Illinois, our home state, but also abroad. So bravo to you. And we have a great international ed program at Gustavus.
Totally agree.
Or study away, I guess it's called now. Yeah. That's really cool. So you've also got an internship. I don't know, has it started with Emily's List? Whether it started or not, tell us a little bit about that, what you will be doing or what you've begun to do.
Yeah, so it's a fellowship program.
Oh, that's right. It's a fellowship, you'd said. Yeah, right.
Yeah. Emily's List is a super PAC. So basically, they endorse Democratic pro-choice women to run for office. So they've endorsed people like Kamala Harris, Tammy Duckworth, lots of different Democratic leaders. And they prioritize engaging all women across the country to run for office, especially those Democratic pro-choice women. So I applied for this fellowship. Basically, it's just a online class that I take every other Saturday, and they teach you how to run for office, which is amazing. That's so it was a little frightening at first. I did not expect to receive this fellowship, honestly, because it's a national fellowship. So people from all across the country are applying.
Congratulations. Wow.
Thank you. Yeah. One of 40 participants, which is amazing.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. When I went on that first Zoom call for this class, I noticed that I was the youngest one there, which was really interesting. But I think it's really good to see that there is, there's a lot of different women who are running, all different races, all different backgrounds from all across the country, all different ages as well. And so it's really nice to be able to connect with them and to also learn how to run for office, which is something I'm definitely interested in doing in the future.
Okay, we'll come back to that. Yeah, that's fantastic. It's much bigger than just an internship. No, I don't mean to belittle the internship. That was an awesome job, but this is really cool. How did you – so, again, tell us a little bit about, especially for maybe current students or prospective students, how did you come upon this fellowship? Did you get help from Professor Knudsen, or how did it happen?
Yeah, no, I didn't get any help from anybody. I'm really good at super sleuthing on the internet. I'm really good at finding and researching opportunities to achieve my goals. And so Emily's List is an organization that I personally resonate with that, really spoke to me. And so going to their website, looking under internships and fellowships and seeing what programs they offer for everyday women like me really empowered me to apply for this fellowship. And I'm really grateful for that opportunity and all the work that they are doing at Emily's List as well.
Well, good for you. And I was thinking earlier, now is a good time to say it. I just admire your initiative. And I think that's so important too, not waiting for things to come to you or to learn about things, but sleuthing them out, as you say. Just
Thank
fantastic.
You.
Yeah. And again, you never know. I mean, you're going to, obviously you'll be making connections through this fellowship as well. And I just know from, I'm old enough now, let's put it that way, to know that, you know, you do you never really know what, how something that happened, you know, years before might come back in a really positive way. So we'll stay tuned. That's really cool. Congratulations.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank
so
you.
is it, are there national leaders? Is that what happens on these calls, talking to the group or what?
Yeah.
Emily's
List staff members who are trained to give these, well, facilitate these programs and to train other women to run for office. So it's primarily from their staff, but we follow a lot of different processes. We hear from different internal staff members from Emily's List about budgeting and finance, and the communications department came and talked to us as well. So we get to hear from a lot of different people from different perspectives of what it's like to run a campaign. So yeah, it's been really, really interesting, and just kind of seeing how my political campaign communication class kind of pairs really well with this fellowship as well has been just super insightful and definitely solidifies my desire to enter the political sphere.
It's just perfect. I mean, yeah, exactly. And those connections are awesome. I love when students connect, you know, between classes or disciplines on campus, but also between what they're doing on campus and off campus. That is so important. Mm-hmm. It sounds wonderful. Again, I'm envious. Just sounds great. And you know, of course, you know as much about this as I do, probably more. I mean, the surge in women candidates, women who'd never run for office before, right, or even thought of it, is really, I think, exciting to see over the last several years. So good luck with that. That continues. Is that for the fall only, or does it continue all year?
Yeah, it started in the middle of August, and I think my last session is October 7th. So we'll be wrapping up here shortly. So.
Okay, that sounds great. What about the worship groups that you've been involved in on campus? Tell us a little bit about that, what that involves.
Absolutely. They are wholeheartedly my pride and joy. I love them so much. So right now I am the meeting lead for Proclaim, which is an entirely student-run worship ministry on campus that meets at 8:30 p.m. on Tuesdays. And actually, Professor Kate Knutson is our advisor for that as well. So I'm really lucky to have her supporting us as well. But basically, I kind of help facilitate those worship services. I oversee our leadership, that our students who are committed to making sure that, you know, God's love is spread throughout our campus. So it's really a blessing to be a part of that and to see just how passionate our leaders are about that and how many students are seeking that community and seeking something bigger than themselves. So involved with that and also involved in the Sunday worship community, which is based out of the chaplain's office. So started by Chaplain Maggie and now continued on by us. We just have a great time. It's a more Lutheran contemporary worship service, so it does have that denomination aspect to it, but it's a lot of fun. I sing in their band, which is a great time. So yeah, love it.
All right. That's all interesting. We should stipulate, of course, Gustavus does not require one to be part of any religion.
Absolutely.
We have all kinds, all faiths, no, you know, different kinds of faiths and religious faiths, I guess. But that's, I mean, my God, the amount of organizational experience and skills you are getting through the internship, through what you just described, and now through Emily's List, that is impressive.
Thank you.
You feel free to say no, but you said you sing in a band.
I do.
you want to sing anything for us?
Oh, goodness.
You were in a cappella. Anything, just anything.
Anything.
I love a cappella. What is that a cappella group? Oh, my gosh, the young people that, you would know them. I love their blanking on their name. Anyway, I got to see them at the Hollywood Bowl once. It's just so beautiful. But if you want to, anything.
Let's see. I'm trying to think of what a good song would be to sing, other than like, you know, ABCs and whatnot. goodness. Well, let me see if I can think of something, but maybe we can come back to it.
Okay. At the end, we can end with that. Yeah. Yeah. And anything. So we're kind of getting toward the end here. But I wonder if, you could reflect on, are there particular, you've touched on this, I know, but when you think about your academic work at Gustavus thus far, are there particular, courses you can talk about the major courses, of course, and minor, but even aside from your major and minor courses that stand out, and are there even more than that particular moments in your education thus far at Gustavus, aside from the internship, obviously that's crucial, that you really think are kind of, you know, formative or transformative, to use that overused word?
Yeah,
that's a big question, I know.
That's okay. I'm here for it.
Okay.
I'm ready to dive deep.
All right, go for it.
I think that pretty much every moment in the classroom has been a transformative experience for me. I think what really accentuates that is the liberal arts perspective. I will like die on that hill that I think every college should be a liberal arts college, because there is just so much value in studying interdisciplinary ideas that coexist together in ways that we might not otherwise in other aspects of our world. So really just having that interdisciplinary experience has been so transformative. And you see it in all of the classes at Gustavus. There's not just one thing that you talk about. I mean, I was in some geography courses, and those had to do with a lot of things that I talk about in my politics courses and in my communications courses. And, you know, especially in the way that specifically we talk about climate change too, like how are we communicating that issue to a larger audience, or how are we influencing our legislative leaders to propose legislation to combat that issue. So there's a lot of overlapping, and I think that's what makes me so excited to graduate and pursue a career, is because I know that I can think about things in ways that students who are at other universities that are focused on one specific area may not be able to think about things. And I just love that about the world. I love being able to look at things through different lenses, to get to know all I can about a specific topic. Yeah, I don't know if that really answers your question.
Yes, it does. And I'm silent because I won't start yelling and cheering, but my God, I mean, you're preaching to the choir here. And I don't know, I think of, you know, if I had, I had a big console with an applause and cheering button, it would be pressed. Yeah, no, it's beautiful. I mean, you just made a fantastic case for the liberal arts, which of course are under attack, right, as useless and silly and what a waste of time and anything but. And I agree with you. I mean, any good university has a strong liberal arts core. I did not attend a small liberal arts college as you are. My wife went to one, Bard College in upstate New York. But I went to Northern Illinois University. You know, DeKalb, Illinois. I went to Northern.
Of course I do.
Sure, DeKalb Corn. Went for my BA and MA. and in high school, too, a teacher that a lot of us have. He's recently turned 90. We get together online, all of us, a whole range of his former students. But he was really doing, I realized, the liberal arts. He was doing exactly what you just described, helping us, really, encouraging us, modeling, to see connections where connections might not be first evident, to have a hunger to learn, as you clearly do, about the world. So yeah, bravo. Good for you. I mean, that is what I think college should be about, and then you carry that on with you once you graduate, as you surely will. So yeah, that was a great answer to the question. Thank you. An impossible question to answer, but I loved your answer. So as we bring this to a close, I guess, and that actually this is a nice segue from what you just said. You do work as a tour guide, right, at Gustavus, or you have? You're still doing that,
absolutely,
right?
Absolutely. Yep, yeah. I'm still doing that. I'm a tour guide, and I'm also a team lead for outreach and recruitment, which is a new position in the office this year. So
that's
getting
fantastic.
Students involved in recruiting more students. So
excellent. That's good news. We have a new VP for enrollment, Kim Frisch. You may have met her. I've met her.
Yes, yes.
I'm excited about that. Seems really have a lot on the ball. What I mean, I realize you've given us pieces of this throughout our conversation here, but so what do you highlight? What do you like to highlight to as you do the tour for prospective students? And I guess their parents are there sometimes too, or not? Or do you separate the parents from the kids, the students, I should say?
Yeah. You know, there's a lot of different things to focus on when you're on tour. You know, it's definitely taken a lot to get used to. I think the biggest thing is making sure that we tell our students and the parents why we picked Gustavus.
Yes.
Which I definitely talked about a little bit beforehand, but
yes.
I really want to drive home this idea that Gustavus is so unique in that students are here to do things bigger than themselves. And that was just the vibe that I got the moment I set foot on campus. You know, we're not just Gustavus students. We are humans in a bigger world, and we're here to learn as much as we can so we can go out and impact the world. And that's just what's so amazing about Gustavus is this college is creating students to go out and impact something that's bigger than ourselves, which that is exactly what I wanted when I was looking for a school. I didn't want to just be a number or be a person in a classroom or a body on campus.
Right.
I wanted to have an impact and to be able to recognize that what I'm doing here at Gustavus is going to outlast my time here.
Right, exactly. Yeah, that's the value of it. The return on investment in that sense is really profound, I think, at least for people like you who put, you know, I mean, it's, you know, Gustavus has so much to offer, but we also need students who are willing to do the work, as you clearly are, and are fully engaged to make the most of that.
Right.
You have a favorite part of our campus when you give a tour? I mean, would you like to point out certain buildings or anything? I know what I would point out if I were giving a tour, but go ahead.
Absolutely. There's so many parts to love. I think my favorite part is Old Main. It's my favorite building on campus.
And you're there probably a lot for poli-sci.
Yes, right? I'm there a ton, mostly because I hang out in the chaplain's office with my campus mom, Jody Moss. So she's such a lovely human being. Have to give her a shout out on here. But
great.
I also just love that moment when you are about open the doors that go out and overlook the valley to Old Main, and you hear all the oohs and ahs, and people get their cameras out, and then you tell them about how we go traying in the winter and do all of those fun activities. So it's a lot of fun.
That's cool. Yeah, I love Old Main too. It's really, I mean, it's the one building, right? It's really the only building on our campus that looks like Gustavus did way, way, way back then. I'm not sure how old that is.
Absolutely.
Got to be over 100 years old, I would think.
Yep.
More, yeah. Yeah, that's cool. I'm biased toward our newest building, Beck Hall, which I call the mothership. I mean, it's just having been in the old social science building, and now it's been, the social science building is beautiful, remodeled, but when I was in it, you know, it was the old library stacks, low ceilings, hot, you know, hot in the summer, freezing in the winter. But that's an incredible building, the remodel, and then Beck Hall, where I do most of my work as a history, and probably comp studies too, right? You must have classes in comp studies.
Absolutely. Yep.
Yeah, it's really, really a wonderful building. And by the way, I should note Beck Hall, named for Warren and Donna Beck, and Warren, who has sadly passed away. Warren was a history major at Gustavus before my time. I was not one of his professors. And his wife, Donna, who was art history. So an example of alumni philanthropy on a grand scale. Helped to give us in George Torrey, the atrium and the building, just a beautiful facility. So this has been so much fun and so interesting. I just love the way you are so engaged, to use that word again, across not only on campus, but off campus. It sounds like, you know, when I was first kind of reading about you and preparing for the podcast, I was thinking, here's a woman who's interested in politics, post Gustavus, and clearly you are, but you've also mentioned writing, hospitality. I mean, and all, of course, those things, politics, hospitality, and writing can go together. But are you, where are you at? And as you think about, you know, what you might do come, I know it's still far away, but it'll come, right? Come June. Are you already thinking about or applying to graduate schools or programs? What do you, and it's okay. I always tell you, it's okay if you don't have it figured out. You don't need to have it all figured out. You've got plenty of time.
Well, I can say that I do not have everything figured out.
Well, that's reassuring. Thank goodness.
Yes. So I am applying for some jobs right now, which is exciting. I have an interview next Tuesday to be a legislative assistant for the Illinois Senate.
Oh my gosh, that's fantastic.
Yes, it's very exciting. So I'm really praying that that one works out because
fingers crossed for you. Yeah.
Yes. Thank you. So yeah, we'll see how that goes.
And would that take you to Springfield, or would you be able to do it in Chicago, or how would it
work? That would take me to Springfield. Yep. Okay. Which would be amazing to be in the Capitol, being able to work with legislators. So, we'll see where that takes me. And if not, you know, maybe considering journalism. I don't think grad school just yet. I need to make some money before pursuing another degree. But yeah, finding a job as a journalist or working in government some way, maybe considering going back to a nonprofit would be interesting. But yeah, any place that is willing to take me, I am ready to go.
Well, they'll be lucky to have you. I can tell you that just based on this conversation.
Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome. Are you, have you thought about, you know, again, I mean, you're young, but has it occurred to you to maybe one day run for office?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That is the end goal. The dream job would be to be a senator for the United States Senate.
Oh, wow.
I would love that, especially to do it for Illinois, my home state, would be amazing. Yeah, I don't know if we'll get there. I don't know if it'll happen. But even it would be enough just to work with legislators on policies that are important to me and just making our society as best as it can be.
Yeah, wow. And that's all in keeping with the Gustavus mission, really everything you've done, justice, community, challenges, global challenges. That's for global citizenship. Just fantastic. This has been such a pleasure. So I want to wish you well, congratulate you on all of this stuff. And
thank you.
I'm thinking one day you will be a senator, you know, and or who knows, maybe a, who knows, maybe something even higher up, right? We never know.
Wouldn't that be crazy?
Yeah, and we'll remember this podcast. That would be great. But I'm gonna come back to singing. You want to sing us anything?
Sure, I will sing you a song. It's a song that we sing as an alto section in our in the Gustavus Choir. So it's called "Will the Circle Be Unbroken."
Oh God, I love that song. It's beautiful.
It's pretty short. So
I love it.
It goes like this: Will the circle be unbroken by and by, Lord, by and by? There's a better home awaiting in the sky, Lord, in the sky.
Wow. Beautiful.
Thank you.
Oh, I love that song. That's so funny. You chose. I mean, well, who doesn't love? That's a beautiful song.
Thank you.
And thank you for doing that. You have a beautiful voice.
My cheeks are all red. So
you have a beautiful voice. Thank you so
thank
much.
You.
I mean, that's a song I you know, I associate with folk music, but also sometimes with social movements. You know, it's a song. You
absolutely.
Say. Yeah. Wow.
Very fitting.
Exactly. Yeah. Oh, thank you so much. That was a real treat.
Thank you.
So Abby Joy, this has been just a real pleasure. I know you have to run, so I'm going to let you go. Congratulations again on everything. Thanks for sharing all this stuff about you and all the best as you proceed this year and beyond.
Yes. Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
My pleasure. Take care. Bye-bye. Learning for Life at Gustavus is supported by the Offices of Marketing and Communication and the Provost. The views expressed in this podcast are not necessarily those of Gustavus itself.